This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
The Nico Collins profile is up on the site right now. Very interesting read. Give the listeners out there your thoughts on Nico Collins. In your words, graduating into that tier one group of wide receivers.
I think the best way to sum it up is very early on in the profile, I said, you know, look, Reception Perception is like Nico Collins better than consensus for a long time now. Like, if you've subscribed to the site since 2021, you know that this is a guy that I've been talking about a lot as an over, like a player who's been like around 70% success rate versus man and press in his first two seasons as a pure X receiver. Like, we always want to keep our eyes out on for those guys because you need to be at over 70% success rate versus press to be like a starting X receiver in the league. And like, Nico Collins was doing that while having very little production because he was playing, like, guys, sometimes this is not hard. Okay. He was playing in a bad offense with bad quarterback play. Like, you can't magic the ball to yourself. Okay. It's just, sometimes it's, we try to like, too big brain this sometimes. The reality is bad offenses, you're not going to find a lot of production there. No matter how you try to splice it per route, per target, per this, that, and the other, it is what it is. But he was a good player. Like, you could see he was a good player watching him in isolation. What Reception Perception can confirm now after the last 2 years is that he has obviously, plainly, clearly graduated into the first tier of NFL receivers. Like, this guy is an elite player. And to me,
Who is in your tier one?
To me, this is a top five receiver in the NFL. Jamar Chase, it's Justin Jefferson, it's CeeDee Lamb, it's AJ Brown, it's Nico Collins.
Wow.
And then I have Puka Nacua, number six. We've talked about him in a previous episode.
Yeah.
Another guy that graduated last year as well. But yeah, Nico Collins to me is somewhere in that top five. And I think very, very plainly because he brings everything to the table.
Man, I love it. I absolutely love it. When you take a look at the profile, there are a few numbers that just, I mean, jump out at you, man. One of them is the nine route success rate, 66.7% success rate on the nine. We're talking about a guy who ran this 12.7% route participation. So it's not nothing. And then the dig, unstoppable, out, unstoppable, 85.7, basically 86% on both the dig and the out route. So intermediate area, man, good luck stopping this guy. You know, nearly 25% route participation on the dig with an 86% success rate. Come on, man. Like, what are we doing out here? Nico Collins is separating short, intermediate, long. Man, his numbers just look absolutely insane.
I think he might be the best receiver in football on like dig and out routes, like these intermediate, deeper intermediate, like 90 degree angle routes, right? Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, he's running those routes at a high volume, 24.6% for the dig routes, 13% for the out routes, and the success rate's over 85% for both. It's crazy. I even included like a video in the profile because I tweeted this out, where he's so like an elite level craftsman, in addition to being, I mean, incredibly explosive once he snaps out of those 90 degree breaks. Like, he does all of those kind of deceptive things of like manipulate. And again, there's a video of in the profile that people can check out. I also tweeted it, so you can just search it on social media as well. But like, you can see him sell the in cut and snap to the outside, or like create leverage on an outside corner and break it to the inside. And then again, because he's so explosive at freaking 6'4", you know, over 210 pounds, which is nuts, that he's just so explosive and so fast out of those breaks. He creates these monster windows. So yeah, like overall success rates, 93rd percentile against man, 77.5%. It's going to be one of the highest numbers from this past year. 82.1% against zone and 82.3% against press, 96th percentile. You and I talk about this a lot, James, like the elite receivers in the league, it's usually like a 75-80-80 rule, right? Like, you're north of 75 against man, you're north of 80% against zone and press. Nico checks all the boxes. So as a route runner, like, yeah, he's incredible as a separator, as a route runner. That's just insane. Yeah, I mean, that's not all he brings to the table. He's also a big time ball winner. And like, when he gets those plays in the open field that we're talking about on these dig routes, he also breaks like just a shitload of tackles.
Right. It's insane. I think that's what drew me. I think his contest, I mean, you know me, right? Like, I like big X receivers that win in contested catch. And I think that's what drew me in to Nico Collins very early in his career. You know, I was with you, man. I was 100% in on Nico Collins pretty early on. I would say probably in his second year, I'm like, wait, who is this guy? Who is this dude? Nico Collins can play. He can ball. Can you talk about his contested catch ability? Because I, again, that is what drew me in, watching a big X receiver win down the sideline in contested catch. Oh, man, that's catnip for me, bud. Like, that is catnip for me. So talk to me a little bit about his contested catch rate, too.
Yeah, saw a higher contested target rate last year. I actually doubled it. It was only 10.8% in 2023, which is crazy for a guy of this skill set. But it just shows you, like, the windows that he is creating and the windows that were present over the middle of the field. But 22.2% contested target rate. Some of that, like, I think is probably due to CJ Stroud needing to get the ball out to his number 100%. One read faster because he was under pressure. And, you know, as a wide receiver, you can be thrown into contested windows. And, like, I'm not saying that is a bad, sometimes it is a bad thing about the quarterback, not in this instance, because I do think CJ Stroud was just under pressure a lot. But his contested catch rate actually improved from 75%, which is great, in 2023 to 81.3% last year. So the contested targets went up and the contested catch rate went up with it, which is incredibly impressive because sometimes the inverse can be true. So, it's like he's got great hands overall, great ball tracking. Just tough as nails at the catch point. He's just so damn good, bro.
When I look at the Houston Texans, what I love about what they did this offseason is that they weren't standing on the fact that Nico Collins is this dominant, you know, wide receiver one. No. They said, okay, how do we truly unlock and capture the ceiling of this passing offense? You know what we're going to do? We're going to go draft a bunch of wide receivers, man. And that's what they did. Second round pick on Jaden Higgins, a third round pick on his Iowa State teammate, Jalen Knoll, who, by the way, you could make the argument that Jalen Knoll's better than Jaden Higgins. He certainly was at Iowa. He had more receiving yards at Iowa State than Jaden Higgins, right? I get the athletic traits and all that kind of stuff. That all plays a factor as well. But these are two high quality players that I liked. And then they picked up Christian Kirk as well. To me, what I find interesting here, Matt, is they spent a third round pick on Jalen Knoll. They totally could have gone a different direction. I mean, shoot, they just spent a second round pick on Jaden Higgins, right? But they said, no, let's overload this position. Let's go Jalen Knoll. We don't want to get caught in a situation. It's the exact opposite of what we talked about a couple days ago with the Saints, where they got decimated by wide receiver injuries, and then they continued to ignore that position group in the draft. Not Houston. They said, no, we got decimated by injuries. We're not going to get caught with our pants down again. Yo, we're going to draft two young guys and then go pick up Christian Kirk as well. What I found really interesting about that group of moves, Matt, is that to me, Houston has really never had a reliable full-time slot player. Not really. You know, when they had all three of their guys, when they had Stephon Diggs playing mostly slot, that was fine, but he wasn't a full-time slot. I feel like with Jalen Knoll and Christian Kirk, these guys are going to be guys that live inside, and they're going to be pretty darn reliable. I think to me, this is the very first time that the Houston Texans and CJ Stroud have had that kind of guy. And when you pair that player with a Nico Collins, boy, I tell you what, man, you can really make some really difficult matchup decisions forced upon the defense.
I love what general manager Nick Caserio did with this position group this offseason, because like you said, each of the last two seasons, because Nico Collins has missed time, it just like games here and there with soft tissue injuries, which, like, that's the one thing holding Nico back from like the triple crown this year or something like that, right? It's just if he's going to miss any time. Cause otherwise, like, this dude's actually absolutely a candidate to lead the NFL in catches, yards, and touchdowns. And I'll really get to why here in just a second, because it relates to these other guys in the room here. But mostly because Tank Dell has been injured. He's ended it, both of his seasons on IR, which is unfortunate because Tank Dell's a damn good player. Like, he was awesome as a rookie. Yep. And he brought a lot of, like, it wasn't as a slot player, but he brought a lot of verticality on deep outbreakers and deeper, like, posts and stuff like that. And I do think that They're hoping that Noel and Kirk can kind of do a little bit of that, which we'll talk about. But because of that, it's like each of the last two playoffs, they've won playoff games, by the way. Like they've won a playoff game in each of CJ Stroud's 2 years, but it's been like, well, let's see what Xavier Hutchinson could do. Like maybe John Metchie's got something for us this time. And I think those guys are like quality guys to have on a roster, but you don't want them running like full complements of routes in playoff games. So because of that, you hit this position group hard this year. You trade it like the Jags are going to cut Christian Kirk. That like was the news that broke. Like Jags are going to release Christian Kirk. I remember I landed in Boston to go to the Sloan conference. It was like, oh, yep, the Jags are cutting all their guys. The next day, Nick Casario actually literally was speaking at the Sloan conference, and that morning they had traded a seventh rounder for Christian Kirk.
Amazing.
So the dude's out there on the road in Boston swinging deals for Christian Kirk. And they don't just stand pat on a guy that's coming off a season ending injury, is kind of getting up there at this point, and it's not like a superstar player. You're going to basically get a guy that could be like a Christian Kirk type, a better than Christian Kirk type in Jalen Nolan, the third round, even though you already drafted his teammate, Jaden Higgins. So, in terms of Jalen Nolan, it's one of those, like, you look at the depth chart right now, I don't really see how this guy gets on the field, just because, like, if Kirk is healthy, he's probably a starting slot, and Higgins is probably the starting other outside receiver across from Nico Collins. But he's so good. Like, talent finds a way. And, like, you look at Jalen Nolan, I do agree that I think he was – just like Josh Downs a couple of years ago, like size profiled in the NFL. And that's why he went at quite literally the same draft slot as Josh Downs. Both those guys were like 71st or 79th overall players in the NFL. And I think Downs has been a steal. Noel will be a steal. 84th percentile success rate versus man. He's really good on those same routes that like we're talking about with Tank Dell, creating that verticality, corners, outs, comebacks. I think that he's going to be a dog there. If it's not this year, it'll be in time, because he's just that good. So that's one thing there. I don't think he is a slot only player, which is going to be pretty critical, because I think all these guys are going to move around a little bit. Yay. And that's where Higgins, look, I was lower than consensus on Higgins as a prospect, definitely, because I think as an outside X receiver, which is what he played, he was outside on 68.8% of his sampled snaps. He was on the line of scrimmage for 75.7%. So not pure X, but mostly X. I think he got stuck on routes, like stuck at the break points of routes, especially in breakers. Kind of like with Keon Coleman the year prior, I just didn't want to see him run out as a pure X receiver. He's not going to do that this year, right? Because Nico Collins is there. Nico Collins is a top five receiver and a pure X.
Right.
And so I think, if I had to bet, I think Higgins will take a lot of snaps off the line of scrimmage, and he will take a decent bit of work in the slot too, because Noel's not a slot only player, and neither is
we're doing
some power slot stuff with Jaden Higgins. I will be stunned if he's not taking some reps as a power slot. Okay. But that being said, I love that you have like a big slot and a vertical slot here, because that's what Iowa State had with these two receivers, is what that Texans will have in the long term. But the other thing that's really interesting about Jaden Higgins, and this is where it comes back to Nico Collins here, you look over the last 2 years, Nico Collins, I mean, again, just pure X stuff. He's been 89.1% and 83.4% each of the last two seasons on the line of scrimmage player. Like, that's, and he's been outside. He's been north of 80% every single season. He's never taken more than 17% of his sampled snaps in the slot. So, and again, that is just so unusual. That is very unusual, because if you look at it's a total throwback. So the players I've charted so far, and I'm still working my way through the league, but guys that are 79% or higher snaps on the line of scrimmage: Quentin Johnson, Nico Collins, Jalen Waddle, George Pickens, Marvin Harrison Jr., DK Metcalf, Cortland Sutton. Like that's not the role you want, like, your number one receiver playing. Like, people are constantly complaining about Marvin Harrison Jr.'s role. Meanwhile, that's the role that Nico Collins is playing. You go back to 2023 and thriving. You go back to 2023, the guys who are over 80% snaps on the line of scrimmage: George Pickens, Drake London, who we just talked about got that big role reversal and what he did with it, Mike Evans, Brandon Ayuk, Jamison Williams, Devontae Adams, Rashad Bateman, Nico Collins. Jamison was not outside nearly at 80%, so like, he's kind of different than these guys. But like, there's only one or two, obviously, if you include Devontae Adams from 23. There's only like two like elite players there. It's Nico Collins and Devontae Adams. I would be stunned if those numbers are the same this year, because I think that Higgins, as even if he just takes like 30% of the snaps at X, can really unlock the ability to move Nico Collins around, which is like, look at what happened with Justin Jefferson last year, took fewer snaps at X, absolutely exploded, got more layups. And I think Nico Collins can do that stuff too.
I love that analysis of it, man. And again, it's the chess piece of, it's not just wide receivers. You know, there is an X receiver role. There's a flanker role. There's a slot role. We jokingly say that, you know, we're the alignment bros. This is why we do this, you know, which is, I love that part of it. By the way, what is Jalen Waddle doing on that list in 2020?
We'll talk about it.
Why is he on that? Both years.
We will talk about it. When we get to the AFC's preview, because I just wrote up the Jalen Waddle profile. That's so dumb. If people don't want people should subscribe to the site, just go read it now. You don't got to wait for it, but we will talk about it for sure on the pod.